T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
I got to tell you, I think it's a crucial game for Mitch to start on Sunday because of the remaining opponents. This is by a mile the most winnable game. And if of your upcoming opponents, this is the best opportunity to stack together a couple of wins. If you can find a way to beat the Giants, which, let's be honest, you should be able to win this game. Mitch needs something good to happen for him because he's the guy that you need to learn about. You don't need any more information on Chase Daniel.
No, it truly is a situation where it won't get any easier than it will Sunday against the Giants for the Bears. The rest of the season.
That's right.
The 2-8 football team. You go on the road to Detroit a short week. It's Thanksgiving Day. The Lions play very good on Thanksgiving Day traditionally. And then you step up in class and there's nothing guaranteed about the final four games of the season. You want to get to 500. You want to start to begin to stack wins. You're right about the development. He needs to develop and you need to see growth. He has not surpassed 300 yards since last year. He's got to have a good moment. He's got to have something to build on.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
We have some breaking baseball news that we have to get to. Give us the numbers, McKnight.
According to the White Sox official Twitter page, the White Sox have agreed to terms on a 4-year, $73 million contract with free agent all-star catcher Yasmani Grandal.
Why the White Sox?
Why not? Got a good young core. Guys who have a lot of talent. Really good arms. So, yeah, I mean, the more I looked into him, the more excited I got about him. And so, yeah, that's why the White Sox.
Jerry really stepped up.
Wow, what a great outcome.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What a glorious, wondrous day. Wow. In the fine city of Chicago. And
you bet your sweet ass on that.
You bet your sweet ass. And Mr. David... Well, first of all, happy Friday.
Morning, Molly. Yeah.
We got too much going on.
It's a happy Friday. It's jam-packed news today.
And we're giving stuff away.
That's the best kind of Friday. And definitely,
yes.
You come in here riding a little bit of a high if you're a Sox fan, because yesterday was a big one. And the biggest one ever in terms of a contract. And Yasmani Grandal also gave them a new slogan. Put it on a T-shirt. Why not?
It's a Bears You'll Friday today on The Score. A Friday, Bears Friday, brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. The Mully and Haw Show runs on Dunkin'. And boy, am I excited about the White Sox. You know what really excites me more than anything else? I am now of the belief that they have a plan. And I was worried about that at various points. But to go out and to make a splash, to make a big move, to make a head-turning move for people in the industry. No one's getting signed. No one's doing anything. The Sox get Grandal.
Right.
And what are they announcing? Hey, you know, are you a pretty good pitcher? Guess what? We got a young roster. We got guys coming up. We got talent. We're opening a window to victory.
And if you're a good pitcher, we have a guy who's going to frame your pitches.
We're in a division where you can win. We have a lot behind us. We're in a major market. And by the way, how about throwing to the best framer, one of the best framers in the game?
By the way, no Come small here. Thing when you're talking about a veteran pitcher like a Zach Wheeler, maybe like a Dallas Keuchel.
And that's who they're talking about. I think Zach Wheeler is the next guy up.
That's the rumor. That's a report out of New York. The Sox are front runners in that conversation. And that's exciting as well. But you're right. You know, what we have been talking about for too long is all the rhetoric about how the Sox are serious about becoming a contender and pointing to 2020 as the season that you're going to see some of the payoff. And what we're tired of in Chicago is the rhetoric. And what we got yesterday was a result.
Exactly.
And that's the exciting part is
exactly.
that they beat everybody to it. And the plan that you speak of actually has begun to take shape. And you can see why signing him on November 21st makes a ton of sense, because you get out in front of everybody. You are not just talking about a concept. You're talking about reality. And this is a guy who was a number one catcher on the market, and you went out and you got him.
You have a plan, and it's not the friends and family plan. You go out and you – I mean, this is a baseball rebuild plan.
Signing all-stars is a better plan.
That's a better plan.
You know, yes. You know what buddies.
You're exactly right. But you know what the irony of that is that last year that was the plan. Was let's go out and get John Jay, and let's go out and get friends and family of Manny Machado.
Right.
And in their backyard, Ricky Renteria, the manager of the White Sox, his relationship or background or rapport with Yasmani Grandal factored into his decision to come to Chicago.
Yes.
And there were options out there. The Reds were involved with Grandal. They were the team that drafted him in 2010. There were other teams involved, but he cited his relationship when they were both with the Padres, and Ricky was a bench coach and Grandal was a young catcher. And that came up yesterday. And that was, you know, that was the relationship. That it wasn't the main reason. There were, you know, money was the main reason, but that was a contributing factor, and that was interesting.
Yeah, he said he loved him when he was a bench coach out there. So that's always nice to have that love. Kenny Williams said that it's clearly, when asked what it means, he said it's clearly that we're trying to put ourselves in a window that could very well start next year, but extend to the next 5 or 7 years.
Well, I think that's what you want to say if you're, you know, Kenny Williams. The window is open. Next year, though, if this continues down the path that we think it's going to continue, then the conversation about contending in 2020 is real. And for all the reasons you cited, it's a winnable division. You can look at yourself if you sign Zach Wheeler, if you sign a pitcher as a you're going to
be. You know, sign two of them. I mean, why not sign two of them? They got money. They haven't really tapped into that. You got Kopech coming back.
Yep.
Giolito coming off a great year.
Right.
You're hoping for something more out of Ronaldo Lopez. You have Dylan Cease. You've got bottom of the end of the rotation guys that belong in a major league rotation.
You'll get two veterans.
But you could use a couple of guys on top of that, or one stud guy and another guy that could help you at the bottom of the rotation. I'm just saying, you always need more than you think, and you need competition from within.
I want to stay consistent with the priorities, though. I think that Grandal was, because he was out there and available and everything that we were going to talk about today.
Hit 28 homers last year.
He's a power guy from both sides of the plate. Number two,
both
though.
Both sides of the plate. Huge.
You need a starting pitcher to follow. If Zach Wheeler comes through because of these reports or what we're looking at, that would be awesome. And number three, though, you still need a right fielder. You still need a right fielder, I think, before you get your second pitcher. And you don't want to have that hole in a lineup. And certainly you can patch it up. You got Lurie Garcia. You've got other options. But you want a bona fide, legit right fielder. If Nick Castellanos, and that market's going to take a longer time to develop because of Boris. But that would be Grandal, Castellanos, a starting pitcher. Those would be that. What
yeah,
a
let's
winter
get
that
greedy.
Would be.
I'm all for it. Let's get greedy. I still think that's not the priority. I think the catcher, going out, getting the catcher, and then getting, you know, so you've got Abreu coming back. You got three new guys coming in, right? And then you'll have a guy, and this is a guy that walked a lot last year.
Yep.
He has a really good on-base percentage. I think he walked like twice as much as anybody on the White Sox a year ago. And presumably, if Madrigal gets up at second base, he's going to walk a lot too. So this will change things a little bit in the lineup. I like the idea, David, that you can extend his career by not catching him every day, that he can play some first base, he can DH some, he can let Abreu have a day off to DH. That will improve a DH position that wasn't very good for the White Sox.
You're collecting DHs, though, and I understand that's
I'm not trying to collect
No,
DHs.
I know, but you got Andrew Vaughn in the system as well. You got Zach Collins coming up.
He's a first baseman.
You don't know
baseman,
how he fits.
Andrew
yeah,
Vaughn.
Okay.
I'm just saying, he's eventually going to be the first baseman.
James McCann, that dynamics is going to be interesting because of you have two. He was an all-star catcher last year.
Listen, right now they got three catchers, I suppose, if you count Collins, which I don't. But you can trade James McCann maybe, you can wait and see.
I would wait and see. You're also going to have 26 men on your roster, and a lot of teams are going to go carry three catchers because of that.
Yeah.
How about the Giolito factor with McCann? Does he have his personal catcher every fifth
day? Maybe that's a good idea.
You know, because they had such a good rapport.
But maybe, Grandal ends up with a good rapport too. I mean, it wasn't like he came up with James McCann.
You're right.
They met last year.
And you don't want to sign a guy and say, well, you can catch everybody but our ace.
Right. That's right. That's right.
You want him in the lineup. So that was a big day. We're going to talk a lot about it because of all the implications.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a Bear game coming up, obviously. It is, as we mentioned, a wonderful Bears Friday. A Bears Friday brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. And the Bears got to win this game. There's no way around it. This has to be.
Well, I'm worried now,
this has to be the game.
I mean, how could Mitch possibly play any better Sunday than he did Thursday at practice?
Boy, we got to get into that a little bit, too. Chase Daniel, clear-eyed, just, apparently desperate not to play on Sunday. Oh, come on. That's just being mean.
Yeah, that's a little mean.
He came out and said that Mitch threw the ball better. It was his best Thursday practice since Chase Daniel's been on the team. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's
and I have to ask.
Pump him up. Build him up.
Chris Tabor. I mean, these press conferences drive us all a little crazy.
Yes.
When did Eddie Pinheiro become a cold-weather kicker? When you referred to him as a cold weather kicker going to L.A. and wait a second.
Yeah.
Wait a second. It's
silly. There was no helmet meeting last night on Thursday Night Football. That's the breaking news. DeAndre Hopkins caught a couple of touchdowns, 94 yards. The Texans took the lead in the AFC South with a 2017 victory over the Colts. It was a little rough because I think we're both. We're both fans of Chris Ballard, and we're hoping for better from the Colts. But that was a good performance. I mean, it DeAndre Hopkins was great. I thought the Colts could not make explosive plays down the field, where certainly you have a quarterback there that can do that.
And T.Y. Hilton Watts. Being as limited as he was for the Colts really hurt them, and he had a bad drop and. Not a good game for the Colts.
Myles Garrett's suspension was upheld despite reportedly telling the NFL that a racial slur was used by Mason Rudolph. Rudolph's lawyer came out and said there was no truth to that, and it's damaging his reputation to say something like that. And then and Garrett came out and said he knows what he heard, and he's sorry that it got out, what he said to the league. And Pouncey's suspension was reduced from 3 games to 2 games, which will help Pittsburgh, but it's not going to help them.
Mason
enough.
Rudolph said what he was accused to say. I'm shocked that we wouldn't have
heard
technology or have heard that from either anecdotally from players or the NFL with all of its technology and sound devices that we did not hear that recorded.
Blackhawks lose their second in a row, fell to the Lightning 4-2. Oh. 27 minutes of ice time for Kaner, and it didn't do enough. Blackhawks are at the Stars on Saturday. Jimmy Butler. You remember when Derrick Rose came home?
Yes, I do remember. That was just yesterday.
Jimmy's turn. Okay. Yeah. So he'll be in tonight with his 10-3 Heat.
It's former Bulls week. I mean, what are they gonna do? They're gonna bring Boozer back to honor Jimmy as well?
He's gonna retire.
Okay.
College football Saturday, the big game in the Big Ten, number 9 Penn State at number 2 Ohio State.
Well, maybe that's a big game to you. I'm looking forward to rowing the boat coming ashore in Devenston, northwestern Minnesota. That's a Titanic tilt.
Then why is it that I asked if I should go to that game and you said, nah.
So now you're looking forward to it. I said it depends on the weather.
How many points are the Gophers getting in that one? 40?
Help. I thought Northwestern fixed their offense last week.
Yeah.
They got everything but the quarterback right. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to be talking Sox. We're going to be talking some Bears. We got a lot to get to, but we're going to do a lot of stuff at the 5-5 next. Molly and Haunt score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run.
the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
How do you think the White Sox quick signing of Yasmani Grandal to a 4-year, $73 million deal means for the rest of free agency and next year's chances?
Oh, it's a big deal. It's obviously the richest deal that they've ever signed for a player. They've got the money. They've been not signing guys for a while, and now they're willing to spend it. And Rick Kahn, one of the things that he said that caught my ear was now it's on to the next one, and that next one apparently is Zach Wheeler, which would be awesome. That's the rumors floating around. The Sox were rumored to be atop the Grandal sweepstakes, and now they get Wheeler, and that would be a really fun thing to see happen. I think you're talking about a team now that has a lot of talent, a lot of young talent on it, more guys coming up. By the minute, they're definitely a team people will be looking at in Rule 5, because I think Al Cancer was the guy that didn't really make the cut, and they're good. So hopefully that would indicate that they will be able to sell that idea to free agents. Hey, you know, we got a window. It's about to open, as you heard Kenny Williams say a minute ago. We talked about that idea 5 to 7 years. They're going to win. They're going to win for a while. They've got a really they're in a major market. They've got a lot of young pitchers that they're developing. They got a catcher now that can hit and that can do some great things for them. And he's a great framer of the baseball, and that will be attractive to any pitcher out there. If you sell them on the idea, you have to have attracted everyone's attention by making this signing, and guys that maybe weren't on board already will look over and say, hey, they're doing something. They've got something going. So I'm all over it, and I think it's fantastic. And I like the idea that they're not just, you know, they're not going to go wait for the big name after he talked. It's no longer the seat at the table.
Right.
It's a plan. It's getting guys in here, and it's winning now. Now, I think they can be a 500 team. I think they're getting closer to be a playoff team. I think the division's winnable. I feel good about it.
Well, as Grandal said himself, why not? And I think that's got to be the motto and the approach for the White Sox. Why not 2020? Because that is a division that you can make some hay and gain some ground. It was a $73 million investment in credibility because the Sox were lacking it. And I think when they talked about wanting to do this and wanting to do that, we always had the skepticism rooted in the Machado experiment or the whatever that was and whatever that ended up being. It was a disappointment. It was a swing and a miss. And now you don't have that reference point. Now you have something to point to moving forward, because when the Sox, you know, announced this and they were so proudly pointing out that, you know, $18.25 million, I think, is his average salary. And he already makes him the highest paid White Sox player ever. And you have to say for now, because there's going to be another one. You think there's going to be a bigger contract than that. And that's exciting. And that's what this indicates, is that the Sox aren't done yet. They're serious about 2020. Zach Wheeler, according to SMY, I believe, in New York, is the Sox are the front runners. If it's not Wheeler, maybe Keuchel. If not Keuchel, hey, maybe both, as you point out. Why not? And I think it was interesting to hear John Morosi on the station yesterday mention Jonathan Gray as a possibility. The Sox are in the market for top-of-the-line starting pitchers, and that's something that they need. You wonder where the right field position, how that will be filled. But now you're looking at this season and this offseason, and it's not with necessarily as much cynicism or skepticism as you had 24 hours ago, because the Sox have backed up that rhetoric with some results,
Yeah, several thoughts as I saw that release yesterday. Number one, I was surprised by how early it was. Baseball free agency has gotten so much later in the season. It's like, holy cow, the White Sox struck early here. And it's a huge thing. It could be their first domino. And I'm not going to say he's their John Lester, because I'm sure that's what a lot of people are thinking. Well, he's just like John Lester. When they got Lester, then, you know, that opened up a lot more doors for other people. Well, that could be the case. Not saying he's going to have the same impact as John Lester, but it is. It's they've had this money. Everyone knows they have their money. Now it's getting somebody that they want to take their money. They found that guy, number one. And you heard Kenny talk about this yesterday, that Grandal was at the top of their list in terms of offseason targets. All of his peripherals are off the board. He hits home runs. He gets on base. He's a great mentor for young players. He's a Cuban guy. We got a lot of Cuban guys on the White Sox roster, so that is certainly
bilingual. Yeah.
Absolutely. And he plays first. He can catch. He can DH. You could mix and match him along with Abreu and whoever else you mix in at that DH spot. A lot of good things with this. And you guys have already mentioned the pitchers, so I will not go there. But that is certainly their next stop, right field and pitching. That's what Rick Hahn had to say yesterday.
But what about James McCann? I can't believe I heard that so much yesterday. It's okay to acquire two all-stars at the catcher position. That's okay. And David, you brought up a good point earlier. 26-man roster next year, a lot of teams are going to have a rotation somewhat of catchers. And to be able to rotate between Grandal and McCann and maybe toss Collins in there once in a while to try to develop him at the position as well, that's a good thing. It's about acquiring talent right now for the White Sox because they are bereft of it. And it doesn't matter if they're DHs or outfielders or catchers or whatever position they play. You just got to get the good players in here. And the fact that they made this step yesterday, it was excellent. I was driving home from the score yesterday, and I heard the news. I let out a guttural
Did you pull
scream.
Over? Did you pull over? You were worried about being little...
I was close to okay. home, so I didn't pull over yet. I was pulling right onto Paulina, so I didn't have to pull over. But I did stay in my car for a little bit after I parked and texted about 10 people. This is fantastic. You know, it's a great first step. There's more work to do. There's a lot more work to do. But the fact that they got out in front of the pack, got one of the most coveted free agents out there at a premium position for my money, what for top three catcher in the game right now, with all due respect to the guy on the north side of town and JT Realmuto as well in Philly, Grandal's right up there with any of them. And he can play a little first base. He's a switch hitter, as you guys talked about. It's fantastic. Great power, great eye at the plate. He walked 109 times last year. Nobody on Incredible. The Sox roster came close
like
to that.
64, I thought. Is that right? 60?
He walked 109 times last year. And the three guys that walked the most on the Sox last year, Moncada, Abreu, Yolmer, 120 combined. So he's going to bring that as well. That's fantastic to me. Now go out, get Zach Wheeler, get Castellanos, get Ozuna, get a couple more arms for this bullpen as well. And then we're talking, but this is a great
Ozuna.
First step. Yeah, Marcelo Ozuna, he's out there. I love the John Gray idea. He's not a free agent. You'd have to give something up to get him, but he's a really good pitcher as well. If he's on the market, that's great too. Very, very pleased with this. I don't know how you could frame it any other way. And yes, pun intended, framing.
We'll hear a lot about that coming up. Framing
transition at 9 o'clock.
I didn't get one of those texts from Kevin. I don't know why I missed that. I wasn't consulted or talked to, you know, hey, Dust, what do you think? I was around a bunch of White Sox fans when this news broke out, and were all head over heels. This is great. Listen, I love the idea that a team, when your team identifies something that they want and then they go get it, and the way they went and got it, right? I mean, the speed, the timing of it, that's great. And again, Mully, you talked about in the first segment of the show the other starting pitchers that you'd like to see them go get. Well, obviously, this piece has to make coming to 35th and Shields that much more attractive, right? Who wouldn't want to throw to this guy? Who wouldn't want that guy receiving and framing their pitches? This is absolutely great. And Mully, I know you've joked about it and you've suffered through it, the whole idea of the Sox being 500, but I think this division is for the taking. I mean, can you believe in the Twins year after year?
No.
I mean, the Tigers aren't the team.
No.
Come on, this division is there to be had. Forget about 500. Next year, 2020 White Sox winners of the division. That should be the goal. Go White Sox.
That's the most planted question in the history of professional sports.
How does Grandal's signing affect the trade market for Wilson Contreras?
Well, it opens up some options, but I don't think that they're going to turn around and trade Wilson Contreras to the Brewers, who need a catcher. And I don't think that the Reds necessarily make a lot of sense either. I do think it probably it just reinforces the value of that position. I would not advise trading a guy who is your core piece within the division. I just think that's a bad idea, no matter how good the return might be. It may have a domino effect down the road. I'm not sure if it does or it doesn't. Put teams, depending on, number one, how motivated the Cubs are to really make a deal and get rid of Wilson Contreras, depending on what comes in return. But I'm not sure if it does have a direct effect on Wilson Contreras in the trade conversation. It's an interesting dynamic. It does create a void with two division rivals for the Cubs. But I would be very careful if you are looking to make a deal and you give away a core piece to a divisional rival.
Yeah, I guess it saves the White Sox having to trade for Wilson Contreras. Is that fair enough? I don't
know.
You
can trade for him and he can play right field.
Do the Cubs get a Lloyd back
catching?
You know, it's interesting because I think JT Realmuto is negotiating right now with Philadelphia, right? So he's got a year left on his contract, so he's going to be available. Wilson, you can get him and not spend immediate money on him.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the attraction. Now you'd have to give up a lot to get him, and that is the negative of it. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, this is a nice contract. It'll be interesting to see what Realmuto gets and how Wilson fits into that. I mean, he's not a framer of the ball at all. He's very active back there. He likes to throw behind guys. He's got a cannon for an arm. He can throw out anybody and really can keep the running game in check. But there are issues about him in terms of his ability to kind of frame the ball and do that sort of thing. So I don't know. I don't know how that would attract other pitchers. I don't know if I think there's value, obviously, with that bat. And I think if you look at some of the contracts that have been given to catchers over the years, there's regret tied into that because it's a really hard position. And it's one where if you can keep a guy from having to squat back there, for an entire season, you're extending his career and you're giving him other opportunities. So I think Wilson might fit in different ways than just catcher.
Yeah, and Molly, as you're talking there, I'm thinking exactly that about the catcher position and guys like Buster Posey or even the great Joe Mauer, who for Minnesota for all those
exactly
years.
Right. Yep.
You just can't catch that long anymore. So the fact that Grandal can play a bunch of different spots in the lineup, whether it's DH or first or catch, I think is a good thing. Now, as to the Contreras question, my question is, do the Cubs have to trade Contreras? Because I know a lot of Cubs fans would be pretty upset if he were to go. I know they have their plan, just like Rick and Kenny and the White Sox have their plan. Does the Cubs plan include Wilson Contreras on the team for the long term, or is he that piece that they're going to try to use to help replenish their farm system? But if they do plan to trade Contreras, certainly taking Grandal off the board is a big move.
In answering that question, it probably depends on how badly teams want a catcher. And if there was a team that was eyeing Grandal that wants a catcher, not necessarily within the division, but that may help make up their minds for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, which I wouldn't say is a slam dunk, but it's pretty close to a slam dunk, is they probably wouldn't have traded Contreras to the White Sox, the Cubs I'm talking about. So
no.
Unless, of course, they want to give Eloy back. So, but I'm sure they probably don't want
no.
to do that. But
that last White Sox-Cubs trade was so wonderful, no. Espo. Why would we not want to...
We're celebrating it in Cubdom over
that.
Here, for sure.
Molly, you bring up a great point about JT Realmuto, one of the other elite catchers in the game, along with the two guys that now reside here in Chicago. His contract will be kind of a tastemaker, kind of a setting the bar at a certain level, comparable age to Contreras and Grandal, comparable skill sets. They're all very, very good players at a premium position. So seeing if he extends his contract with Philly, and seeing how much money he gets, seeing the years that he gets, I think will be very interesting in regards to Contreras and seeing if the Cubs are maybe willing to extend him. Mike, you brought up the point. You don't really want to trade Wilson Contreras.
I kind of like him.
I like him a lot, too. He's a fantastic player. He's versatile. He's a great hitter and, all of that thing. Very entertaining, showboat kind of guy. You love to see that. But the Cubs have to do something, you know, and we talked about it. It's Bryant, it's Baez, it's Contreras. They're going to have to move one of these heavy hitters if they want to kind of restack the minor league system or even at the major league level as well. They need an influx of talent at a couple different positions, and that's the best way to get talent is by trading talent. So I think this does, or it will, have an effect on the trade market for Contreras if the Cubs indeed are shopping him, as the rumor goes. And I think if he is the guy that they choose to ship out of town, I think they're going to get a huge haul back regardless of who's ever buying.
Now, as positive as I was about what the White Sox did yesterday, I can go negative very quickly if this is what ends up driving one of my current favorite Cubs, Wilson Contreras, out of Chicago, because all of a sudden his value has to go up, 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 because this guy has been taken off the board in such a swift fashion. Now, again, the biggest difference is, right, Grandal is known for getting on base and framing, and Wilson's known for being hyper and throwing guys out and not framing. So what do you want? What will he bring back? Here's what else is interesting. You know, if the Sox think there's something on the Cubs, could you see James McCann switching sides? And would the Cubs, would Cub fans be okay with a platoon of McCann and Vic Caratini? The other thing I heard, Steve Stone yesterday, right here on The Score, he is not a fan of the, I guess he's kind of, sort of, currently still the Cubs right fielder. He doesn't like him in the in and outfield with Eloy Jimenez. He says you can't have those two guys in the corner outfield of the White Sox. So if that's true, if he knows something, if he's talking to people, you know, do you need to trade Wilson Contreras in order to keep Castellanos on the north side? Is that something that has to happen?
That's a concern, and it's a good one by Stoney. I didn't think Castellanos was bad defensively.
I didn't either.
Cubs.
I listened all day to The Score yesterday after this news broke, and one of the things that stuck out on a very good interview by the Parkins and McNeil yesterday was that Stone said you cannot have Castellanos and Eloy Jimenez in the corners and hope to win. Like he just doesn't, for Stone, his arm isn't good enough for Stone when you got Eloy on the other side.
Well, Castellanos DH, there, problem solved. Sign him up. Let's go.
Well,
step up, Jerry.
He's a Boris client.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Keep that soundbite handy, Kev.
That's an interesting question.
Do you believe Chase Daniel when he says Mitchell Trubisky had the best Thursday practice during Daniel's time with the team? Is it an effort to build the quarterback's confidence, or will it translate to Sunday?
Oh, boy. You know, I believe what I see on the field, not what I hear from practice. We're talking about practice. No, I don't.
We're talking about practice, man.
I honest to God don't believe that Chase Daniel is lying, but I don't think that it matters. I can't tell you how many times I've heard about how well guys have done during the week.
If you love football, you had to love this practice.
Perfect. Perfect example. Thank you. I want to see Mitch get it done on Sunday. And I would love to see Mitch get it done on Sunday. And I like the idea that a game, a good performance in a game, can knock you out of whatever you got going on. But this idea that it just seems like another kind of building up the confidence level of the quarterback, it means nothing to me. So I don't know that it translates. I think there is certainly an element of trying to build up the confidence of the quarterback. Maybe Mitch had a good practice. Just get it done Sunday. Let's see it on Sunday. Let's see those explosive plays that the Giants love to give to you. And I'll feel a lot better about it.
Did it improve his passer rating, anything he did yesterday?
No.
Will it change his ranking in NFL.com's quarterback ranking this week where he's 29th?
Will it preserve his job?
Will it keep his job? Will it make him the quarterback of the future once again for the Chicago Bears? No. I get it. But every time that you hear some sort of description of him doing something, you know, behind closed doors or at practice where nobody else can see, it just sounds like they're trying to build up a damaged psyche. And it just reminds me of how damaged the psyche has gotten this year from Mitch Trubisky. And this whole conversation about his mechanics and about his accuracy and about what he can't do in the pocket and all these things, it just, they start from the shoulders up. And this is a guy whose confidence has been shaken. And this is a guy whose approach tends to be fragile. And when they have to say things about how it's the greatest Thursday ever, You don't win games. You don't earn contracts on Thursdays. You don't earn contracts on Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays or Fridays. Do it on Sunday, and I'll be impressed. And right now, you're in the show-me mode if you're Mitch Trubisky. They're playing a 2-8 football team. This Giants defense stinks. If you cannot get where you need to go offensively, then that tells you and reinforces what you think you know about Mitch Trubisky. So I just sort of cringed when I heard Chase Daniel talk yesterday.
Yeah, and Kevin's soundbite stole exactly what I was going to say. This whole thing just felt very Trestman-esque when I heard it yesterday. Who cares how he looked at Thursday practice? I don't care. Was Andy Reid out yesterday? Did Patrick Mahomes have a good Thursday practice yesterday? Are we sure about that? How was Tom Brady's Thursday practice? Who cares? They are trying to repair a damaged psyche, David. That's exactly what they're trying to do. And the Giants coming to town actually made me think last night as I was getting ready for the show today. It's like, you would totally take Daniel Jones over Mitch right now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
You would, right?
Just because you don't know anything about him.
Exactly. Well, right.
There's still curiosity about him.
But you totally would.
I get it. This is radio, but I'm doing a hand motion right now to really kind of dictate my thoughts on what I think about this. And if you can use your imagination, you could probably imagine what I'm doing.
Are you signing?
I'm moving my hand about.
He's framing something.
I'm moving my hand about in a very sarcastic manner to alleviate my thought, or not alleviate, to demonstrate my thoughts on this. Who gives a...
Kleenex is on sale at Jewel.
There you go. Thank you very much for helping paint the picture there, Dust.
Radio.
Nobody gives a damn about practice. This is... If this is the point that we're at right now with Mitch, and we all know that Mitch can't play quarterback at an NFL starting level, but now if we're at this point with his confidence and his psyche and his morale, where we have to tout this guy up now, oh, he had a great practice, and we're invoking the name of Mark Trestman here now in this question, this is pathetic. Just get out there and play well and win, and if you can't beat the Giants, we're going to be in for a real hell of a show on Monday, but I don't want to ever hear about how great Mitch looked in practice or in training camp or at home or at the gym or whatever. This is pathetic. Just go out there and perform.
Now, nobody loves to take Chicago sports people out of context more than me. That's what we do in Sports Talk Radio. At least that's what I think we do. And why was he even asked a question? Like, why was there a microphone in front of Chase? Like, what was the context and how did it get out there?
Well, he did finish the game. And he is in play this week if he...
All right. You know. I'm just surprised that he was even made available to speak.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, good. I'm glad he had his best Thursday. Good. If that, air quotes, benching or out because of injury, motivate, whatever it takes, I want the Bears quarterback to be good. Just, I'd love him to be great, but I just want him to be good. Above average with that defense... Something good could happen. So if it takes the backup quarterback licking the boot, if it takes the coach, air quote, benching him to get him motivated, whatever it takes, now go out there and throw 6 touchdown passes against the New York Giants on Sunday.
You can't beat that question. You can try, but you can't beat that question.
Will Jimmy Butler get the same kind of fawning apologies from former critics that Derrick Rose enjoyed in his homecoming? Why or why not? And why isn't Jimmy as beloved?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It was a shot, maybe.
That's a bit of a shot in the question. I am a former critic of Jimmy Butler, and he will get no fawning apology from me. I have nothing to apologize for, and I don't regret anything that I've ever said, written, or discussed about Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is a prima donna, and he is a all-star player, and he could maybe carry a team to the playoffs. Maybe a championship. I doubt it. I really do. And I still believe in what the Bulls did when they dealt him and understand that the reasons why. And part of those reasons why was because of his personality.
It's not about them right now. It's about me.
He's a basketball diva. And he comes into town with the Heat riding high. And congratulations. Nobody's ever commented on his ability. It's just his personality. And he's not as beloved because he didn't grow up here. That's an easy one. And he didn't win the MVP here, and that's an easy one. He was a very good player here, an all-star player, that he had to go. I'm more excited about Kendrick Nunn coming back to Chicago.
I got to tell you something. I mean, we can we could talk about the difference between Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose all day. Derrick Rose was the first pick of a draft. Where did they take Jimmy? And Jimmy was a guy who started out as a try-hard defensive player who wound up, and let's be honest about it, he's kind of, I don't know that he's NBA superstar, but he is definitely second tier. He's a good NBA player. He's not one of the great ones, but he has made himself into one hell of a player, and he took himself out of here as a result of it. So he turned into an NBA player in a lot of different ways. That there, you could make an argument that he's a significantly better story than Derrick Rose, because you know there was a time when the two of them were in the backcourt and we wondered if they could play together and who had to go. And it had become Jimmy's team because he was out there all the time and he was able to play. So, you know, I get it. I understand why Jimmy is not liked. I understand why Jimmy got a little arrogant and he and D. Wade had that thing where they talked about the other play. I mean, look, there's a reason that that they were done with him. But you're absolutely right. Derrick Rose grew up here. And Derrick Rose, we watched him play at Simeon, and then he wins titles at Simeon. He goes to college and gets into a championship game and wins the MVP. So I understand that he's a homegrown player and he's a son of Chicago, and we feel differently about guys like that, and he won an MVP. But you could argue all day long about the story that is Jimmy Butler. It's a hell of a story. It's a real rags-to-riches thing, but you're right. He's arrogant, and he's made himself kind of unlikable. But I've always liked Jimmy. I've always thought highly of him as a player.
Well, you don't have fond three alphas memories of the Jimmy Butler era. Wait,
you know what? I don't even remember who the third alpha was.
Rajon Rondo.
Rondo, if he hadn't gotten injured, they'd have won a title that year. I don't know if you've heard it.
Fred would still be here.
Oh, yeah. That was title talk in Chicago.
That was a cursed roster.
The short answer to this question is no, he won't. But I think that the tide turned on Jimmy. You remember the one? I mean, he certainly played himself into a great player. He's made himself a great player. He made himself into, I think, at the time, a fan favorite. Around the time when he was becoming that star, the Bulls kind of lowballed him on a contract. He played for himself. He got more money. But then that's when all the prima donna stuff started after that, I think. And clearly, whatever was going on inside the locker room there was not working to Jimmy Butler's liking.
He got paid and money changed
him. That was it. Well, that was it. Short answer, exactly. And that's why he's not as beloved. I think, you know, he became a different guy.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Butler, the bright-eyed rookie out of Marquette, second-round pick, try-hard guy, compare him to the Jimmy Butler now, rich, successful, all of these other things. It's night and day. I mean, it's apples and bowling balls. Whereas with Derek, you know, he's kind of been the same guy, you know, for better or for worse. And you can say whatever you want about Derek, and he's got a lot of critics for a lot of different reasons. I, for one, love Derek Rose and will continue to do so. And, you know, you can make the comparison. They both definitely had difficult upbringings, you can say. You know, they conquered a lot of obstacles on their paths to success in the NBA. But at the end of the day, it is Derek being a Chicago guy. It's a more relatable thing, the injury, being able to overcome the injuries and reestablish himself as an NBA player, and just the likability. You know, I've met Derrick Rose before, super friendly, humble, just good dude. Jimmy, not so much on any of those other fronts. Great player, don't get me wrong, and he's doing a hell of a thing with the Heat so far this year. All credit to Jimmy Butler, the basketball player, but as a guy, he can go kick rocks. He's a bad dude, and I don't mean that in a good way. Like, you know, like the kids are saying, oh, he's bad. He's an ass.
No shot.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Oh, I like that.
I like that question because there's not an obvious answer.
Can you please predict the score of the Bears' victory over the New York Football Giants? Mm. And if you do predict a Giants win, who do you want fired on Monday?
I like the way that one was put. I'm going to have Rex throw for three touchdowns, and the Bears.
Rex.
Excuse me.
Oops.
I'm going to have whatever the guy's name is throw for three touchdowns.
Chase. And, Chase.
I don't think Rex Grossman ever had a great practice like Michigan.
No, he never had a Thursday.
Never had a Thursday like yesterday's.
But I'm going to go with the 21-point score for the Bears. And I would say that the Giants are probably, I'll give them 13.
Okay, 21-13 Bears.
21-13
and
Bears.
If it's 21-13 Giants, who gets fired?
Oh, I didn't predict that.
But you included that in the question because you were mean-spirited.
I am very mean-spirited. If it were me, I'd fire the play caller. Not as head coach, but as offensive coordinator.
You would strip him of those duties.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Well,
you can't get 21 points against this team.
Oh, God.
You got to go.
I'll say 24. I think the Bears are going to get 24.
You got a field goal going.
Yes. Listen, I have faith in that cold weather kicker, okay, Eddie Pinheiro. I mean, it's going to be a little bit chilly. So 24, Giants 10. If that doesn't happen, then fire the quarterback.
Nice.
I can't even imagine what Monday show will be if the Bears lose to this Giants team. And yet, I will stick by my longstanding Friday morning practice that I've developed this season, because every time I pick the Bears, they lose. So I am going to pick the Giants. I will take New York 24, Bears 20.
They're coming off the bye.
Espo.
And I
love a man who will zig when you're zagging.
Mike Esposito, Espo 670.
You're like Kevin. There's a lot of herky jerky going on.
At this point, I think this season has become a bit of a dumpster fire, and I want no part of it.
Wow. So who gets fired? That's a requirement of picking the Giants.
Well, no, I tell you what, I mean, I like the play caller thing, because that seems to be one of the main problems here, aside from you're not going to fire the quarterback midseason. Apparently, they're not going to do that, and not that I am, you know, pining for Chase Daniel. So, you know, let's have somebody else call some plays and see what happens.
I think this is going to be a Bears win. I think it's going to be a fugly game. I don't think it's going to be enjoyable. I think the Bears win 9-3.
Nice.
And if they don't win, I just hope my guy Rags is safe on Monday.
That means 3 field goals, though, Kev. Are you sure about that?
Oh, criminy. You're right about that.
It could mean a touch. It could be a touchdown to safety.
Yeah.
I'm public school educated. Yes. I can do football math. If it does end up the way Kevin put it there, Mully, 9-3, I'm with you that even in a win, that the offensive play caller should have that title removed. I am predicting big things, though. I am predicting 28 all on the arm of young Mitchell Trubisky, 4 touchdown passes, and I'll give the Giants 6. So 28-6.
Wow, look at that.
Bears.
It's
28.
That's pretty good.
Points.
Is that the over? What is the over?
6.
40, isn't
Bears.
It?
40?
Is it 40?
Oh, it's got to be always 40.
But I tease it down, so that would move it down 6, so that would be 34, so I'd be pretty close.
The Bears are pretty heavy favorites in this one, actually.
6.5? I hope so. It's the Giants, for crying out loud.
They're coming off a bye week.
That's
oh, my God. What a
thing. They took 4 days, here we are, 4 days off. Like
the mayor says they better fix the offense and the kicker.
Yeah,
find your leg.
That? Yeah.
That's awesome.
She's not wrong.
Jeez. No, she's a 20-year season ticket holder. She's right.
Talking about a strong leg.
There's a lot of other things she should be worried about than the Bears offense and the kicker.
You think?
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.